welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles again, another great day. Working towards that last great day of the feast, we will be looking today at Isaiah chapter 25, the book of Isaiah chapter 25, and we might even get as far as chapter 40. But we're going to back up here to from 25 and go to the previous chapter. And it says in chapter 24, verse 23, regarding the end times, those times in the future that we're looking forward to, the time that the Feast of Tabernacles points to and is a symbol of the future of this prophecy, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when Yahweh of the armies shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients magnificently. And then in chapter 25, as we go down the page here to in the 25th chapter of Isaiah, to verse 6. 25 verse 6, okay? And it says, "And in this mountain shall Yahweh of the armies make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, fully fermented," if you look at the Hebrew there, "fully fermented wines on the lees, of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people." Right now our eyes are blind, aren't they, toward the Messiah. We don't totally want to agree with everything he wants us to do. He tells us, and we say, well, he'll just have to work it out. But he will destroy this covering over our hearts and eyes and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh the Eternal will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off of all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. Verse 9, the next verse, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is Yahweh. This is our Yahweh, our Maker, our Master, our Commander, the Eternal. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yahweh rest." Let's also look at, and then we can come back here. Verse 30, 29. "You shall have a song, as in the night when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of the Hebrews." Okay, let's go on in the book of Isaiah. I think it's a great theme for the Feast of Tabernacles. It has a lot of symbols and pictures here regarding this great, wonderful feast. 26 verse 12 of Isaiah, "Yahweh, thou wilt ordain shalom for us, for thou hast wrought all of our works in us." So he is the one, not us, that causes us to walk in his commandments, statutes, and judgments, his feast days, his separated days. "O Yahweh, our Maker, other Elohim beside thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and make all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art magnified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh." This Feast of Atonement, you know, we hear so much about the Jews. With their fists they pound their chest, or you know, afflict their souls, the Days of Atonement, the Yom Kippur. I think they did it a month early this year. But at any rate, this has been, for thousands of years, the Jews have kept this. However, we never hear, at least I've never heard, about the Feast of Tabernacles from our people who are supposed to be teaching us the Word, teaching us the law. Why don't we hear about tabernacles that talks about eternity? Verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. So here we are, the message of the resurrection is found in Isaiah. And during the feast, we think about how our body will rise, how Messiah's body rose from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. And we are looking forward to our resurrection once again, when Yahweh comes to gather us all together in his second coming. The dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be past. Turn the page then, please, to chapter 27, the last verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. So it's still your duty, leaders, to blow the trumpet. The great trumpet shall be blown. They shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Mitzrayim, and shall praise Yahweh in the pure mountain at Jerusalem. Yes, I am reading from the King James Version, but we have to change some of these terms. The word Mitzrayim there actually means Mitzrayim, but through the years they changed that word to Egypt. So may or may not be okay, but I prefer to use the Mitzrayim so we can kind of get integrated a little bit more into the Hebrew. We don't need to go around speaking to each other in the Hebraic tongue all the time yet, but I think that Yahweh will restore his pure language, not modern Hebrew, but pure Hebrew someday. And, you could go to Hebrew classes every Sabbath if you wanted, but if it doesn't explain how to study the word better and how to study the law better, look into different words, then it's, I don't know what avail that would be. It would be in vain. So in verse 18 of chapter 28, that's chapter 28, 18, as we just got through talking here about how we've been the fault of our misunderstandings. We just kind of followed different leaders and they were following leaders who didn't know what they were doing. But now we need to read the word for ourselves, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, referring back to verse 10, and here a little, there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And so on. But in verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall no longer stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. So we have gotten in the way of our own progress. We come up with different Band-Aid solutions on how to improve or how to try to regain some ground that we lost with substitute techniques and different aids and helps that we think are going to help get back to Yahweh, or at least get ourselves back to where we think we ought to be, to try to get back to normal, in other words. But it only serves to dig a deeper ditch for us, a deeper hole, and then we actually fall into more bondage, more sin, by just following what we think is the way, when we should be just reading the word simply, line upon line, here a little, there a little, where we're talking about a certain doctrine, a certain teaching, then just we just look at everything about that right there in the word. But we're mainly reading through Isaiah today, And I think we're going to go to chapter 30 next. Okay. Well, chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore, Yahweh said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear is toward me is taught by the precepts of men. You could also see Matthew 15:17. I think that says here in my notes, and Psalm 12:2-4, about that same theme. There is, it's the judgment is coming down. We can see the financial collapse of a lot of institutions and of America, and even of the world. But we've turned to a deeper, a darker element of sin. We've gone lower and lower. The United Nations allowing the Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission to be on board there, to come on and bring their seat in, their flag, for, you know, what they think would be their country. Such disobedience to Yahweh's word. And it calls that, as well as many other sins, abomination. Proverbs, what is it, chapter 7, talks about the abominations, which includes pride. Abominations in the word also includes unclean meats. Anything that is unclean, it's always going to be unclean. That the nature of that never changes. Yahweh's offering for us on the tree at Calvary didn't change those things. So that's I guess that's why we're here today. It's because we believe Him. We believe Yahweh. We believe His word, and we want to praise Him. It's not what somebody told us, reading right out of the word. Of course, somebody could twist his words, but that's why it's your responsibility to check it out and not just take somebody else's word as gospel, so to speak. Isaiah 29:18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the separated one of the Hebrews. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. They make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him, and reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. You know, we're trying to make a person even lower than he feels, right? Right? Trying to make you feel bad as if you're somebody who did something terrible, when in fact they may be the culprits there. But that's typical, to try to find a righteous person and then destroy his reputation. You could take him to court if you could prove that that's what they were doing. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. So you are Jacob. You're the Hebrews, or you're the saved ones of the Messiah, the true Messiah. Some go by different names, Yeshua, JC, and we go by Yahweh Hosha, or HaMashiach, Messiah. But you are the people that are to no longer be ashamed because of what Yahweh HaMashiach did for you. Neither shall your face wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall set apart my name. They shall make it kadosh. In other words, set apart my name and set apart the ruach, they shall set apart the separated one of Jacob and shall fear the mighty one of the Hebrews. That's Yahweh. And in verse 24, regarding those who were kind of on the fence, or they didn't really, they learned doctrine, but they misinterpreted it somehow or another, or they erred in another way. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Woe to the rebellious children, Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Here we are with those band-aid solutions again. Just kind of help me make me think I'm better, or make How is it that somebody said that, if I died, the main thing would be that I would just have peace about it? Peace, I'd be comfortable in dying. So is that comfortable and having a peace about dying because I know that all my sins are forgiven and that I'd repented and that I'd, followed all the instructions of Messiah and loved him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and followed his commandments? Or would it be because I have assuaged or I've laid aside my conscience and I've tried to rationalize all of my dirty deeds as being good and therefore I just kind of preach myself into heaven and think that I'm okay. You're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay. We're all going to heaven. There is no hell and there is no judgment. There's no lawgiver. But Yahweh is the judge, as we read here in Isaiah. Yahweh is the lawgiver. And he's the giver of life, not concentrating or focusing on the judgmental part of things all the time, even though we will do that. We must do it, but I want to concentrate on that Yahweh is our deliverer. He is our healer. He will heal us of all of our offenses, our sins, all of our afflictions. And, as a result, our physical afflictions too will go away. He's going to heal us completely, 100%. But we got to back up here and look back at where we are right now, especially where America is in a sad situation, a sad state. What, the Republican Party, the Tea Party, is going to get better and save us? Okay, don't go there. Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Mitzrayim, down to Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, not at his counsel, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, or man, in Babylon, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt, or American business labor unions. Let's trust in unions. Let's trust in our bosses, in our corporate strength, in corporations. No way, not for me and my house. So in verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And, going on with more telling it like it is. More judgment there. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, not according to Yahweh and the Torah, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Those smooth-talking devils out there, the silver-tongued preachers that speak from the pulpit with their support and all of their means of the media, whether it be television and electronics and all that backs them up, makes them look really good, doesn't it? But it's not of Yahweh's covering, it's not of Yahweh's spirit, it's not going deep enough, but too shallow. Too broad, too abstract, not specific, right into the law. We go right to the law, Deuteronomy 14, or you could look through Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers for the feast days. Look through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy 14, for example, and you can read there some of the particulars about the feast days of Yahweh that these silver-tongued, deviled preachers. Go to Paul's letters, or they'll go to Galatians, Colossians, and try to prove that Yahweh's law is no longer in effect for believers or for what they say is Christians. But that's not taking it from the start. And Yahweh, when he walked on the earth, Yahweh gave us the example. He never kept the first day of the week. He kept the Sabbath. He kept the feast days. He wore the hat. Well, where does it say that? Well, if he didn't, then he was not being a priest. He's the priesthood of Melchizedek, so he must have worn the covering, which is for priests. He for sure had the tallit. Of course he wore a tallit with a tzitzis. He had a beard. So it's nothing like we see Jesus Jesus on television being portrayed. It's much more like a typical Hebrew law-keeping male, Orthodox Jew or someone like that that we might see. I don't know about that big, wide hat that those Jews wear. I don't know about that, but we'll learn as we go on, because 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, Yahweh promises. Isaiah 30, if we're faithful to him, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, you who have not been obedient, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may magnify unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. Now we're reading in Isaiah 30:18, and that he may have mercy upon you, for Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are we waiting for him, or are we waiting for the corporations, the corporate bosses, the unions, the big labor, shall we fit into that, the pigeonhole that they want to put us into? And we'll do everything, the liberal things, and support the gay agenda and so on, and break the Sabbath days, fudge on the Sabbath. Okay, boss, yeah, I can work till 9 tonight. Well, if it's in the middle of summertime, fine. But if it's on a what they call Friday night in the wintertime, 9 o'clock would be way after the Sabbath day starts. It's right into the Sabbath. But the unions and any boss will tell you, well, who you're going to obey, your religion, your leader there, or me. And most immediate will be your boss there. He's going to put the pressure on, or she, put the pressure on and say, well, you got to do it our way. These are our laws. You're going to go by our laws or by those religious laws you have out there. Well, I picked Yahweh's laws, and as a result, I lost position and I lost jobs. But I'm still here and doing pretty good so far. No thanks to them. So thanks to Yahweh and the gifts he gave us, the talents he gave us to keep persevering and try to make something work anyway. Don't spend too much. Isaiah 30, verse 20, and Yahweh will give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction to kind of purify you. That's the Messiah purifying you. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall be thy teachers. Your eyes, as you read the word, thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. We're not going to defile, we're not going to have idolatry and adultery, sexual immorality that is so rampant around American and westernized societies, and probably in all the worldly societies, all that sexual immorality. I mean, is it such a big thing, really, about marital relations between a husband and wife? What's the big deal? Why can't they be shared early in life, before we're married, or with other partners, or with those of like species, gender? What would be wrong with that? The only thing wrong with it, other than it's disgusting to most of us, and rightly so, but the only thing wrong with it would be just that the word forbids it. It just says it's immoral, is all. It's immoral not to attend the feast days. That's a different thing. No, it isn't. It's all the moral law. All the Ten Commandments are talking about moral things, and that includes that one that regulates our time, the seventh day of the week. The time regulation, that's all we're worried about, is regulating what day of the week we're going to keep or not keep, or if any day. Usually it's no day of the week. We say we keep all days, and then we wind up with this new law of love, and we don't keep anything. We're not subject to anybody's power or authority. We're not concerned with Yahweh's law of love, but we have this new love of, concerning loving myself, the law of love. Well, it's not about Yahweh's time and about his Sabbath. It's about me. It's about sun worship. And yeah, get down on them good. Yeah, let's get them down by their neck and really. No, I don't want to preach down on people that keep Sunday. I mean, we kept it for 40 years, so. we didn't know any better. 45 years, I think. And a lot of people who keep Sabbath days are not anywhere near perfect either in their morality and regarding sexual immorality or idolatry. So here are these words. Read them over. If you've had a hard day at the office, why not just open the book for 15 minutes? Just open it and look and hear. Verse 21, Isaiah 30:21. That voice behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Don't go after these graven images of silver. Yeah, there it is, that SUV out there, that graven image. I can see it out of the corner of my eye, out the window. The, what do you call those? There's all BMWs and so forth. and the cheaper makes as well. Very nice cars, but is that our life, to get the newest car so that our boss will think that we're okay? Well, we're not really on a sidetrack, not really on a detour. We're trying to move toward Yahweh and His ways, towards loving Him. But this defines how to love Him, by addressing these problems we have in our life, sexual immorality and idolatry. If we break the Sabbath, we're actually breaking the one about idolatry, the second commandment. We're taking His name in vain. We're also stealing. If we break the Sabbath day, we're also breaking that commandment. So how many commandments can we break by breaking the Sabbath? Well, I don't know. It might be all of them. I haven't really added them up, but it might be all His law. If we break one, we've broken them all. And isn't that true? If we're stealing time from Yahweh, we're not giving Him all the time we should give Him, at least the minimum that He asks of us, well then, we are stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Don't do that. Okay. I'll try harder, but I'll ask Yahweh even more for more help. I've been negligent. I've been fudging. I haven't, I didn't feel like praising Him on a certain day, and so I kind of went in late, or I didn't go at all. Well, now we have to choose also whether we're going to go to some vain church down the road that's been there for 50 years and doing it wrong, or whether we're just going to have a house fellowship, an underground church, a non-licensed church. We have to decide that. Sometimes it's just time to get up and leave, and to move on, to come out of her, come out of Babylon, come out of vain worship. Moreover, it says in verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that Yahweh binds up the breach of the people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh comes from far, burning with His anger, and the burden is heavy. This is good, isn't it? Huh? Why, sure it is. His lips are full of indignation, and His tongue as a devouring fire. We're at chapter 30, verse 28, Isaiah. And His breath as an overcoming stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck. Let me start over. His breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations, which the sieve of vanity, like a kitchen sieve, sieve, S-I-E-V-E, sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. If you've ever worked with horses, you know what a bridle is, and you have these different bits, and it causes you to, causes the horse, rather, to turn left, right, or stop. And that's also mentioned in the book of James. You shall have a song, as in the night, when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as one who goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of the Hebrews. Yahweh shall cause His magnificent voice to be heard, and shall shew the lightning down of His arm with the indignation of His anger, with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And that's current affairs. Yahweh is going to be doing that. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which Yahweh shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in the battles of shaking will he fight with it. and to Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king prepared. He has made it deep and large, and the pile is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, does kindle it. A lot of symbols I ran through there to the end of the 30th chapter, and I'm skipping over some of them, but I did want to single out or kind of narrow in or where it says he's with his voice to be heard and shall show the lightning down of his arm. And, you know, that's a symbol there of Yahweh's power, which has been copied and misused and in different television productions showing some pagan god out there and on Star Trek or something, you know. But, you know, where'd they get the idea from in the first place? And then they concoct this weird vision that that they're trying to give us of somebody who wants to be God, or somebody that we want to make God, but there is a Yahweh, and he's going to have it his way. We're going to do it his way, and we're not going to say, well, he's just going to have to understand my way and get over it, because things are the way they are because of the way they are. How do they? Well, no. We're going to have to understand and know his way and find that relationship, ask him to let us get closer to him, and we'll get away from the problem. And then chapter 31, briefly, before we take a pause here on this day, Isaiah 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. You know, those that, and use the Bibles out of Egypt. Why would we do that? Out of Alexandria, Egypt. The majority of texts these days, people are using those Egyptian texts in the NIV, the New King James, and so on. Those modern versions. We don't need them when we've got the real thing. We've got the Antioch, a copy of the Antioch Scrolls right here in the King James. It's not every word is letter perfect. It's not up to snuff modern in our vernacular, but at least it came from the pure scrolls of Antioch, which is a stone's throw from Jerusalem rather than Alexandria, where it's a type of sin. So woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. For, you know, Egypt being a type of sin, is that our answer, or is Jerusalem even our answer these days with the things that all those different governments over there do? Or the Jews do, the Jews do this. They give us the media out of Hollywood. They present what we are going to think, how we are going to think through media. And it's said that very, very high, rich, well-to-do Jews are in the media and dictating to us what our culture will be through the media. So that's on one of our other files. You can read about that or on somebody else's. They go down to Egypt for help, and they stay on horses and trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. Our horses are very, very strong. I mean, my horse out there, I've got four of them, and those automobiles could pull a freight train down the road probably if it were the right situation. Don't trust in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto Yahweh of the Hebrews, neither do we seek Yahweh. Well, that's the problem, and I think you all know the solution. And we're going to have to get over it, get over our, kind of stuck in the mud lethargy, and pick up in the spirit, be aware, be alert that things are starting to kind of pop and explode around us a little bit there. There's murmurings and earthquakes and so on. The current events don't look too good. I haven't turned the television on in 50 years, but to speak of anyway. But I've heard that things are not doing well with the economy, the stock market, and so on. And I'm really not as concerned. I'm about as concerned with the weather as I am the stock market. You know, you can give up on that. Although some people are still making a little bit of money here and there, I think. And on the name of, by the way, the name of Yahweh, why do we just go with the most popular name? Why don't we find out? You know, everybody is going, first they went with Jesus, then God, the title God, then they went with Jehovah. That was just a kind of a transliteration of the Tetragrammaton YHWH. They went with Jehovah. The same people went to Yahweh. You know, the W is only a recent invention, so why don't we study into his name a little further and give him the esteem and the respect and the time it takes to study it out. There's aids, there's tools right here on our website to study out the name of Yahweh. And you can study on your own in other areas too, in other places. There's a lot of places with textbooks and dictionaries and so on. Why don't we just do that and figure out on ourselves instead of just following the crowd out there, following the Catholic Church? That, you know, they're following somebody else, I guess. They're using Yahweh now because they think everybody else is going to use it. And so that'll become the new standard in the name for our mighty one. But YHWH were the original Hebrew letters, so let's just follow thus saith Yahweh instead of man. Now we'll take a break and get back to this great feast day of Yahweh. We've been studying about Yahweh's Sabbath, about his name, about his standards, and our time. So kick off all the non-essentials, that's the worldly things, the pleasures. We can at least eliminate them somewhat, and then walk in the Torah. The Torah is not to save us, but is the evidence of a believer. Staying away from those social clubs, the clubs, even churches that play the party line and social clucks, and having themselves a merry little Christmas on the way, but not being Yahweh-like, not observing the Word, the Torah. But we need to be fundamental and follow Yahweh's plan, the basic plan that he gave us years and years ago, thousands of years ago. And it's right there for us today. Anybody around the world should be able to get the Word in their own language. It's all there, folks, for us to devour, to enjoy, to take in, and then relax. You know, we're not so worried. We don't need the news media to tell us how we're going to feel about something, because Yahweh's already written his word in our heart. He's written his law in our heart and mind, where we can not forget it, but where we can love him more and more each day. So pick it up in the next tape here. Shalom.